Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by Brand Driven Digital, helping you build better brands online through strategic consulting, digital coaching, and training and events. Learn more at branddrivendigital.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? It's a special live show from the Art Building on the University of Iowa campus in beautiful Iowa City, Iowa, joined by Aaron Draplin, hailing from the mighty Pacific Northwest. Aaron is one of the most unique and outspoken designers working today. His company, the Draplin Design Company, proudly rolls up its sleeves on print, identity, web development, illustration, and GoCo.
Yeah, GoCo printing.
Yep. GoCo Muscle Projects. They make stuff for Field Notes, Esquire, Nike, Wired, Timberline, Ford Motor Company, Woolrich, and even the Obama administration, among others. The DDC motto is simple: work hard, do good work for good people. Lucky enough to be joined by one of those good people right here today. And giving that little introduction,
I know,
in a pretty ruddy example of the field notes.
Too. It looks like it's with it's a line one, right? The rule.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a nice introduction with the inflection and stuff. That's pretty good. I got to learn how to do that. I got to learn how to do that radio voice, if you will, and to get people excited. I noticed one thing that I had to get ripped out of that damn thing: web development. I'm done with that. I must be an older one. I got to clean that thing out of there because, man. You know, how do you tell when a web developer's lying? How do you tell? Here's how you check. You see if their lips are moving, okay? And there you go. Because, man, I have been raked over the coals by some web developers. But, you know, all good, clean fun.
Well, it's interesting work, too. And I'll put the nice Midwestern air quotes around interesting work. It's not my favorite type of project to be involved in.
I just can't. Everything is just changing so fast. I understand the pressure that those guys are under. These people are under, you know, whatever. I get it. And it's weird. But it was just enough of a taste a while ago to realize it was way over my head. I could help maybe undesign or design some of the simple, you know, basic pages. But for the most part, it's just when your hands were held and I couldn't do anything about it, that's when I knew. You know, I this isn't right for me. Because I just need to build it. You know, if I make the logo, I can control the logo and control how, not even whether or not it's good or bad, more just we're going to get it done. And here's the piece that we end up, you know, landing on. When there was other folks in the mix, it was tricky. And suddenly really small things became really, really big. And then you have to apologize to your client because someone just won't finish it. And I don't even know where the keys are to get to, you know what I mean? To get to the
point.
And that was too much. I couldn't handle it because I pride myself on taking on jobs and working late into the night, and then surprising people when they actually show up the next morning. I pride myself on that. And that's with the web guys. That was a little different. So I don't really mess with it anymore. You know?
Well, when you can't control all of the pieces of the puzzle, too.
But, you know, I mean, and people will say you slam those guys. But here's the thing. I know people who know how to do it. Yeah. They do it well. My buddy's Instrument in Portland. They do it well. These cast iron coding guys that my partner I work with, Nakamoto, Dave goes downstairs and works with these cast iron coder guys. They know what they're doing. These guys know how to get the stuff in, manage it, and get it out the door, and it works even 6 months later. So, you know, you look at what my buddy Vin and JD and Justin have done at this Instrument. Go check out Instrument, you guys, from Portland.
Instrument.
Just, it's, you know, you're watching your buddies, you watch them do these things and you're just in awe at the first thing they made. And then all these years later, they have 100 people working there or something. And you're in awe of that. And then on top of that, you know, this is all good stuff. They're all decent people, you know, and they're your buddies. And you're watching it. And there's nothing, I always wanted to mess with them. But you can't really even mess with these guys because they're just, everything's positive. You see pictures, they have parties, they're happy, they're all good looking. A couple of them are a little tricky, but you know, you're just so proud of seeing your friends do this stuff. And then the coolest moment is when you're in the world and you're using something, and then you realize your buddies made it. Like, that is so cool to me, you know. And that's happened to me a bunch with Instrument or with Nemo in Portland. I don't know. There's a lot of new firms coming to town. Portland's kind of exploding right now, and it's a real interesting time there. You know, we're seeing a lot of activity and a lot of new stuff. It's a very cool place to go to, but that can be a little cynical too, you know. But I love it. But yeah, you know, I stay away from that stuff because I can't provide a good service to someone who shows up, you know. I hope they would enjoy, you know, the making of a logo with me, right? I can control that, so I'll stick to that.
So I have to point out that just because it's a first for the On Brand podcast, and that is that we have a guest whose most recent podcast stop was on a favorite show of mine, Mark Maron's WTF. So I have to ask, even though it's maybe not on brand for the On Brand podcast.
You can totally ask. Yeah. I got on there. I reached out to Mark has stories of how he does things. You know, you hear how he got the POTUS involved and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, and you know, not a bad guess, Mr. Obama there, but you know, you reach out because you just think that they're like these big celebrities. And I think Mark might be, but he kind of isn't. That's what I love about him. You know, I like that he'll rip you apart on Twitter. You know,
sure.
That's part of him. But then he's also sweet. So then you're like, wow, he's this big thing, but he's not. Maybe I could do a poster. So I reached out and I did a poster. It was incredible. But in that first initial conversation, we were on the phone. Now I had met him in an airport, LAX, couple years ago, and just walked up to him, and he was like, "Hey, hi." And I said, "Hey, man, I love what you do. I don't know all of it, but I've listened to some fun ones. And can I get a photo?" And he, you know, I went to snap the photo, and he made a funny face. So maybe I was in this category of like, oh, another fan coming up to me. But he was cool, you know. And I got my luggage; he got his. We split, you know. And that was in Los Angeles. So when we're on the phone, we're talking about like, you know, let's get this poster. And thanks, man. I like what you do. And he says, you know, I think I want to put you on the podcast. You want to be on it? And I just, those words are just still so weird to me because I just stopped myself and was like, what'd you just ask? You know, we kind of laughed at him a little bit. And I said, yeah, but why? Because, you know, you put obviously his contemporaries from comedy in there, and that all works. They speak a language that maybe me and you don't even speak of, like what it's like to go, or maybe you're a comedian. I don't know, you know. But there's, you know, this quality of like sometimes I listen and I don't really know what they're talking about, but it's still interesting. You bring an actor, and it's just about where they're from. I love that stuff because people are so guarded about that. So I'm just trying. In that moment, I was just trying to like really think and like make sense and say, where do I fall into this thing for him? And I still don't really know if I did. I mean, a lot of people said they liked it. So that's cool. I mean, I went apeshit. I wouldn't let the poor guy get a fucking word in edgewise. Are we allowed to use language?
Sure.
I'm not going to be.
I don't think we're iTunes explicit.
I'll keep it
this
cool.
Could be the one.
I'll be cool. I just don't even think about it, man. I mean, then when people say, hey, make sure you really light it up with that mouth of yours. And it's like, then, you know, I won't say nothing. I'm just a little altar boy. You know, it's weird. It's never everything involuntary. You know, voluntary to be like, by the way, watch this. Blah, 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 blah. You know, never. Anyway, you know, I don't know. I'm really proud of it. It's really weird. A lot of people wrote back. I wrote them all back, too.
Well, we'll link up to it here because I was just thinking when we were talking beforehand, it's like the deep background on you. I mean, and there's so many things. Like we were talking, you're here. You've been doing a 4-hour workshop before this. Got another talk tonight.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, we didn't even get into that. And
yeah.
I like it because to me it was kind of background stuff that maybe I didn't know.
Well,
like
yeah,
the,
yeah.
All the junking and yeah. kind of the role that that plays.
Well, to be honest, when I got done, I really thought that, like, there's a part I do in my talk where I go for about 10 minutes and talk about where I'm from and how I got to where I got to where I got to where I got, you know, whatever it is. And the leapfrogging and the hopscotch and the sort of weirdness, you know, that's falling on your face a little bit and then kind of jumping up. And I'm always proud of that. And really, that's what I just, that's all I thought I did with Mark was like, oh, shit, man, they, all the kids have been to this. The talk, that's that they've already heard this. I wanted to talk about what it's like to work so much, but people, there's no context for that, you know. And it's just kind of like, that's kind of what I like about him. You know, we didn't need to, you know, he didn't really, when he talked to, what was one I really liked? I think it was Bill Hader.
Oh, that was
being
a good
like,
one.
Yeah, and being like, damn, this is just good, you know. And he sounds like a regular guy. It wasn't really about, a little bit about what he's doing now, but it was a lot about just being a family guy and getting out of New York and going to L.A. and growing up and how weird he is. And it was like, it was great. And then you realize that's just kind of what Mark does, I think. I don't know. I mean, because I wanted him to be like, you know, why are you, you know, what, you know, what, you know, like, what does design do? And I'd love to be someone to say, well, here's what my little corner does, you know, to the uninitiated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I know what comedy does, but I always love to hear the process behind what it takes for those guys to make it. You know, the jokes and the notes and things.
Well, yeah, I find it incredibly applicable to, I mean, anybody that works in and around the creative process.
I mean, I think,
you know, I'm not someone that, you know, is a comedian by any stretch, but hearing about how they work out material and refine ideas, and it's one of my favorite things.
Are you an instructor here?
I am an adjunct lecturer in business on the other side of the river.
What's that mean?
That
bad
means
side of the river.
No, it's just, river literally runs through campus. It
right.
sounds much more badass than.
So you're like in the business section.
Yeah, yeah. College of Business, and then I also do a little in journalism and mass communication.
Oh, cool.
So that's actually where I'm going.
And did McLuhan?
It
did.
Yeah.
He was a big one, right?
Yeah.
Right, for all that. Okay, all right.
But the funny part is, in my time here, actually you can see it out the window back here, is the theater building. And that is my non-business background. I ended up doing this, and Brad are...
So you are like a bit of a little bit of show business.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of speaking, a lot of workshops on... branding, marketing on my own. And I, again, find that weird theater degree really applicable.
I was too afraid to do that shit in high school. I just was too weirded out by it. I mean, we had pizza jobs and shit. We got the hell out of school, you know?
Yeah, well...
Some kids were into it.
Well, it was funny. I was too scared to do anything with it after graduating. So I opted to apply it to...
Maybe there's still that role waiting for you somewhere, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, or it's on stage talking about brands and business.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you're doing it right now. I mean, yeah, brands and business, right? Yeah.
It would be the aforementioned radio voice.
You said it. You go, let me go do one of these podcast introductions because, you know, you meet these guys and you're like, so Aaron, you want to be in the podcast? You want to be on the podcast? And they start the thing and they go, well, hey, everybody, here we are. And there's seven listeners. Ooga, ooga. You know what it is? Fucking, you know, like, Mark makes fun of that shit about like morning radio things, you know, whatever. And, you know, you start getting with these guys and they're like, man, just chill out. I'm not saying that to you, but these younger guys who are like trying to like, it's like a pissing match. You know, I've been on a lot of podcasts and you're like, guys, you got to iron out your idea. At least I knew what to talk about when I came in here with you. Because I'll come into these some things like, I could go buy a mic too.
Yeah.
And now suddenly I'm a podcast. You know, it's like, it's tricky to me because I've been on a bunch where they're like fumbling or I've been on a bunch where they were like, couple. We didn't hit record. And I just was like,
as I check that the red light
is blue. It's scary because it's like, I'm not trying to make fun of you or anyone for that matter, but it's like, you know, when I make a logo, I know what my parameters are. And we start getting into this stuff, there's a lot more variables. You know, like, things can go wrong.
Well, so this is an interesting kind of thing. You talk about, I can go get a mic, and I think, you know, the design version of that with how accessible software is.
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Because I kind of think so.
I think so. I mean, you're not going to offend me in any stretch. Because listen, man, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the posters on the wall here, and I'm thinking, man, when Brad might have made these or whatever it is, you know, and it's like, you know, cool. It's like, you know, there's that might have been from a time when it was harder to get to the software. And yes, all that stuff just gets cheaper and easier, and you know, a monthly fee and stuff. And it took a lot of time to develop. See, like one of the things I'll say to like friends, anyone who challenges me and says, ah, hell, anyone can do this, I'll say, okay, then do it. But, you know, it's going to take you a while to master Illustrator, Photoshop, InDesign, and the things you need. But you know what? What's interesting is you can get in and just do 20% in each and still be able to pull some stuff off. But you can also still tell. You can also still tell when it's lacking some craft or just missing some default. You can smell the default, you know, sometimes. So I'd be really careful when I'm careful to say like what I think about that, because I like that there's accessibility to everything, that people can
right.
jump in there. But I do notice that, you know, I mean, because really, would it ever damage me that like too many people are getting in? I don't know, because I'm 42. I'm on my way out as is. Like, I mean, really, seriously, I mean, how many more years can you stay at this pace? You can't. You know, you'll die. You gotta get healthy. I gotta get healthy or whatever. And you work too fast and you work too crazy. And I love that element, but it's like, I don't want to be 52 years old fighting this fight, staying up. When we're done with this, you take me out to the hotel room. Why am I going back there? I'm not going back there to like lay around and watch some tube. I got to work for 28 minutes, 29 minutes. It's just embarrassing. But I have things promised, and I don't want to sweat it while I'm at the show.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. I guess I could just do it here, but I won't get it done here. I'll be jumping around. I'll be looking at shit.
Gotta have a hard reset a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, there's just something about like this pace that's getting interested. But see, that's what I'm trying to connect to. And I apologize for always being always too long-winded as I start looking around all the cool stuff in here.
I was going to say, a lot of cool books.
I'm going to steal that and that and this.
And there is a game called Logo Party.
Ooh, look at that. Well, sure, you can get the software. Sure, you can get the latest typefaces. Sure, you can get the little filters and things that make it easier and easier and easier to make cool stuff. But is everyone putting the time in that it takes? And that's where it always kind of gets me. Yes, they can get it easier and stuff, but I can tell the guys who are putting the time in. I can tell.
And I also think there's a difference. Learning the software isn't learning the process, isn't learning...
Yeah, I'd say it's a big step. I mean, you got to be quick. You got to be efficient. That's one thing I love about the pliability of how do you say it? It's like when I'm on a plane, I look over at the guy who's like messing with Excel.
Oh, God.
I know. I know. Make you thankful real quick for everything we get to touch. But you look at that, and all I can think is like, he doesn't even get to move the things around. I have different settings. When I'm on my big machine, touch that little setting workspace, and it all just plops out, and it's where I'm comfortable and how I can whiz around with my mouse. When I'm on the plane and I'm working, and I work a lot in the plane, I go to the workspace that says travel or whatever it is, DDC Roadshow or some goofy thing, and everything snaps to a different kind of tightness and a different kind of like usage of the space, and sort of like I'm just so proud and so I feel so thankful I get to work with this stuff. That's a big plug for Adobe, but you know, seriously, go look at like, you know, the customizing quality is like, it's really, really, really nice. And then to learn to be efficient with that, like, I'm proud of myself when I learn a new tip of how to like shave a little bit more time off of this or that or this. Or like, I was watching the kids, and you know, he's trying to do things in that little studio we were just in. Oh shit, I'm so tired, sorry. Cut that out.
I am, you know, not an easy job doing a 4-hour.
Well, that was a four, I mean, who, 4 hours? What kind of, you know, just slave driving graphic design bullshit is that? But I was watching the kid, and this kid couldn't find the tool. And then I went over his shoulder and said, wait, I couldn't find the tool. Because you know why? I went in through my key commands, set up my key commands. That's how I get to my tools. With all these weird, like, creepy claw, like, shift, command, whatever the hells. And that's all I know anymore. I don't even know where to find the hierarchy. Because when you're on a plane, you bring that thing up and it's just a math issue at that point. Oh, you click there and then you bring that thing up to scale something or whatever it is. You know, I've just learned to use this thing how I need to use it and fast. And that, you know, it, whether or not I'm making something good or bad, I'm so proud of, like, how I love that process of, like, learning to be efficient, learning to back your stuff up, learning to be good and somewhat gracious about how much fucking email we get, and then how much to, like, get it back out into the world and answered and snipped off and done. I'm trying. I'm juggling all that, and it's wearing me down. It's wearing me down, you know? It's like, as we get done with every day, I'll crash hard sometimes. It's not like I even lifted a finger. You know, I was clicking a mouse. It's weird how this stuff will have an effect on you, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know if I even answered your question about how accessibility to all this stuff is kind of screwing things up, maybe. Or...
Well, it's definitely, yeah, I mean, it's like, because I see both sides of it, too, because I think the accessibility is, it's a double-edged sword. It's a good thing, but there's also some baggage that brings with it.
You know, one of my favorite things I'll see when I'm in my travels is I'll see when a kid will say, I taught myself how to do this. And it's like, wow. You didn't have to go pay some big school? That is dangerous. That is great. I was one of them for a while until I felt that I had to go back to school because I thought, still felt like you have to, you know? But it's like, I thought if you didn't, it'd be like weird or something. And that's not the case. It was, I don't know. You know, it's interesting. It's like, they told you had to go, and then you go, and you realize, once you get out, you realize, no one's ever asked me if I went to college or not. They just want to see the power of the work.
Right.
Yeah, so, but I learned a lot, too. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's like, I got a nice polish when I went back to school. I really did. It's a rough little stone. When I came out, it was a little... beautiful little gem, you know, terdonium or something.
Terdonium. That's gonna mine a bunch of that. So, in speaking of the work, and one of your kind of biggest contributions to the work is in the field of identity design. So, what do you think is the state of the logo here in 2015? Loaded question that it is.
I don't know. I mean, I'm always looking around me, you know, and it's like, what's the state of it? There's good ones, there's bad ones. It's probably the state of it in 1986. You know, I don't know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago or something. I don't know. But I do see competitive things, you know, where you start to see, like, yeah, it's weird when you're in this long enough, yeah, probably anything for that matter, you see cycles or you see consistencies, positive and negative. Like, oh, that's 6 months of these guys doing this. Stay away from that, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I notice those things, you know, but I'm always looking. But you know what? Nothing is ever going to challenge the throne on a good, solid, legible, readable, scalable, beautiful, crafted mark. Time, trend, trending, whatever the hell. A good crafted mark is just going to kind of always work, you know, because it's got the right DNA. So I look for those things. And I'm trying to think of, like, something I could just, like, roll off the old tongue that's just like, by the way, this was beautiful. And maybe it's just because I'm tired. But maybe, I don't know, I'm tired. And it's like, oh, my God, what was I just looking at? It was like, maybe it was Best Made Co. But there was something, what was I just looking at? And I just was like, oh, this is just so well done. They just really thought through that it's, you know, it can change with the brand, the color. And it can kind of morph as the seasons go, because the brand can, like, the all the type and stuff stays the same. But there was something playful about that. That might have been a cultural thing? Might have been a museum or something. It's like the taste of my mouth. But it would change as the year went.
Interesting.
And it was really cool because then their whole site could be like, spring is here, and it's blues and greens and. And it could adhere to that, you know, and suddenly, like, you know, riff on that. And then when it was like a really dark time and the whole whatever was in the museum, yeah, it was in a museum. Where was that? I can't remember. I just know it's out there.
Well, does it seem like there's, I mean, speaking of kind of that seasonality, that, that adaptability of that, the logo, does it seem like there's more, I don't know what I'm trying, more of a dynamic nature to, as opposed to we kind of set it and forget it with,
yeah,
with the logo as the cornerstone? Are people revisiting it? Are they playing with it? Are they bending it?
When you pick your phone up and you open your phone up, you're playing with it already. So right now, you know, here it is, and I'll just tell you, maybe it was in here, but it was just like, you know, it's like, you know, this is the life we live now. What is it? 30? But I'm on my phone, mm-hmm, flicking through my phone, and I'm reminding myself that, wow, you know, that little Adobe Ideas is a nice little icon right there. You know, and there's just something about that, like, legibility of, like, weather. Well, it's got a little yellow dot behind a little, you know, cloud. And it's just like, that's where we're seeing this stuff. But the world we live in is right here. And yeah, okay, you guys, tonight go on your Twitter and just go scrolling. And you'll see, not necessarily your friends, but you'll see brands that aren't quite getting it. That the world we're in now, your little mark better work inside the Instagram 10x10. And it better work well, maybe on an app or in your Twitter. People are seeing that stuff minute by minute. And there's just something about that. You know, it's like those who are sort of like rolling with the times and adjusting for that sort of like that amplitude. Like you're just seeing that much more. They're getting it. You can see people getting it. Like all I need is a dot that references the dot inside this bigger thing in our logo. Mm-hmm. Done. That's well done, because they only need to like, or just a, even just a hue of something. All right, we have a little cool dot that, you know, it's adhered to this nice piece of type, and the dot is magenta. And then for our Twitter experience, it's all magenta. That's branding. That's awesome, and that's utilizing in other weird ways that messaging. You know, and it's like it doesn't have to like totally pack down into that thing. But when I see like a little brand, one of these cool apps, and they understand Periscope, I think it was called. It might have been, yeah, maybe because
Twitter's live streaming thing.
Yeah, that's because I was just like,
beautiful design.
It's like, damn, man, it works. And then it's like a great little icon and a great little piece, and it looks good when it's tiny, you know, like tiny. And it's like they just understand that. You can tell they understand that, you know.
Well, it seems
others don't.
Well, it seems like there's a new, I hate calling it like a set of rules, but it, like you were saying, it's got to work in the 10x10 Instagram. You know, this.
Whether we like it or not, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way around it. You're not going to have an Instagram? You're nuts. They're fun. You know?
Well, and I think too, the difference that you talk about, like that magenta idea, like taking a small part of something instead of, we've got to fit the whole brand experience into this tiny, like we need a shrinking ray.
That's where you see guys that are like, you know, just see people doing like an element of something, and they just understood it. And that, I'm always impressed by that. You know, like, oh, wow, we can all make that little leap, that little cerebral leap. We still get it. Still tastes like the brand. It's abstract. That's interesting to me. You're seeing that at Target. You're seeing it at Walmart. Someone redesigned Walmart. You know, and everyone's like, right now, everyone's like, the needle just scratched.
What?
How dare you? Man, when you're in the middle of fucking nowhere, there's nowhere else to go.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to get some boxers or some t-shirts, something, you know, socks or something?
We have our big city liberal arguments with our relatives in Smalley, but they've got to put. They don't have anywhere else to get paper towels to get to
well,
get.
Well, Portland, Oregon, you know, it's like a bad word to go to it, but it's like, we're lucky to go to Target. It's beautiful, and you get the. Go get a pretzel or something, you know, and we used to go to Kmart when we were little kids. Dad used to call it Kmart's.
Kmart's.
You get a frozen Coke. That was a treat for us. Once a month, we'd go to, like, you know, that was a treat, and it was cool. And it's like, now you go, and it's like a bad word to be like, I'm going to go try to save a little bit of cash on some Q-tips and shit. Who cares? You know, like, I remember going into one of these Walmarts after the redesign. And playing my little, like, liberal, I'm so lucky to be in Portland, Oregon, role. And then feeling like a big fucking asshole. Because I was just like, man, I'm so lucky to even shop where I get to shop, or, you know, need when I need, and fend for it when I need to get whatever. And I was looking, and I was like, whoever redesigned this, they made that experience better for American people coming here and buying, I don't know what the hell they buy, razor blades and fucking fireworks and cabbage and things. I don't know. But you're in there, and it's like, good design can happen to everybody.
Well, and as the practitioner, to me, that type of project would excite me. The ones that, you know, I love doing work for garage door spring manufacturers, or, you know.
They deserve good That's okay. That's, I guess, what I'll riff on. I love when I see great decision making for things that might be a little stuffy. I'm trying to be delicate. But I like that, because that's like, you see design where it's not. You see great design in elite spaces because they can afford it.
Yeah.
They understand why it's a neat thing and it's a nice piece of icing to have slathered on their little cake, right? But I love when I see good design on something like a train station ticket, because that's for every single person, and that's pretty cool. So you know what I mean? It's like an interesting thing. Like, I'm a little more interested in that. And that's why I'm always looking at these like dead signs and stuff around me, because it's like, that's when you get to see it's like populism or something. I don't know. It's like, I'd rather see it for everyone instead of just someone who can afford that shit. So I'm always seeking those things as like some kind of like soothing, that it's not all just going to end up in a museum or in the portfolio of some Yale grad student prick. I know, you can go into a dark alley and have a guy with a knife in your ribs, or you can have a Yale grad student with $100,000 debt. I don't know which one's worse. They're both dangerous. Charging moose, grizzly bears when you break the thing line between the cub, you know, a surfer on his surfboard getting bit in half by a shark, or a grad student who bought a couple degrees who can't design his way out of a wet paper bag. But what are you going to do? You know, those words are sharp, you know.
So, I love the... You know, you're talking about all of the dead stuff that you kind of find, yeah, and that you go junking for.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, for those listening.
I got to tell you, man, when he said that you're going to take me back to the room, I was like, I know a place downtown we could go to real quick. Like, you know, just take Brad, too. You know, go AWOL.
What, Artifacts?
I've been.
Yeah,
it's an incredible store. That place is weird because it's a curated. But, I collect those places. That's all I got left. But that was the first thing I thought was like, I don't want to go work and send those stupid emails. I just want to go junk a little bit.
He could take you anywhere.
That never changes. That's like, that's all I get. It's kind of, in a lot of respects, some of the last goodies I get to kind of like get excited about, you know, because there's a beautiful randomness. I kind of know what I'm going to see when I go on hotshit.com. You know, whatever. You know, in the morning, yeah, you can go see the latest, coolest design, or like a design inspiration or something like that. Those things are great services. We didn't have those when we were little kids. You had to go look at like an annual, you know, when I was 22 or something. Now, one click and you're just right there. I know it's an old story, but in the same respect, to go and look at a junk store, you will just get sideswiped by just beautiful, 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 sensible, subdued things, and those are cool too. So I love collecting that stuff, and I love being reminded of the power of something restrained, you know, or the power of something being, I don't know, like a good use of ink. That's kind of cool, you know.
Well, it's interesting you talk about all these
doing everything to everything and 10,000 typefaces and everything do yesterday. That's kind of what we're up against sometimes.
I was going to say, and it seems like we're always looking forward, and we're always looking with, like you said, all the fonts and all of the options and everything else, instead of taking that trip back.
Well, and let me, you know, of course, this shit always comes up, and I love talking about it, but of course, I want to be very, 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 very clear that, like, oh man, you know, it's weird because I don't want to go back and be a retro brand, you know, but it becomes like a dirty word.
I was going to say, so it does seem like it's a different thing, because I thought about the R word.
Well, then you're right. And then you get this thing where it's like,
So what's the difference between? Because you talk about like a working man's font and
I know, but those, because some of those typefaces were relegated to like workhorse roles, and that's beautiful too. That's beautiful to me. So when you see me set a funny little mug all in Futura, that becomes its own little design goofiness for me. But when they did it unironically, is that even a word? You know, with absolutely no bit of irony of like, wow, we're selling funny things to funny people, cute things to cute people. It was just because it was a typeface called Spartan. And it was probably just an American knockoff.
No irony there.
Well, it was a knockoff, probably a Futura Bowl, but it was just like, that's my favorite shit to see because it's not meant to be cool. It's meant to just get the job done. Tell you what this thing is, how much to inflate, where to put the thing. This is my voice cracking and shit. I'm all tired. But there's something beautiful about that stuff. And you just kind of don't see it. So that's, you don't see it in our realms. So that's why I love to champion that and be like, yeah, things could be dumb. It's a toothbrush with a graphic on it. You know, some stupid thing I'm making. But then, you know, the idea of like seeing something that's just really about like, okay, who was I just telling this to? Oh, you asked me about a brand. I know what I'm thinking about. There was something else there, but even better than that, I remember a racquetball place when I was a kid, and the balls that the racquetballs were up, the wall that they were on where you got all your supplies, from floor to ceiling were these big circles that were meant to be blue racquetballs. And there might have been three of them. So you can imagine this like 20-foot floor connecting out to these big, tall racquetball zones. Remember racquetball? How old are you?
Yeah, 37.
Nice. So remember racquetball back in the 80s?
I do. Oh, yeah. Big deal.
Big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd it go?
They had one in our small town. We had a Ben Franklin, and they had a racquetball behind the Ben Franklin.
Are you from Iowa?
Yeah.
Where?
A town called Adel.
God, if you're here, who the hell's guarding the town?
I know. I got to get back there.
Where's Adel?
It is 15 miles west of Des Moines, so it's basically outside the capital city.
I love Iowa, man. I've been all over Iowa, and I will never mess with it. I've been to Orange City. I've been to Dubuque. I've been to all the bridges. I cried my eyes out during the movie, so I came back. And I did. Don't leave her. Whatever. I've cut it every which way and every which, like, what, is it 20, 30? Like, I've done them all, man. I've done all the secondary roads, all the 80s and all the 35 and shit. Come on, those are easy. But I've always loved small town Iowa. Anyway, whatever I was saying, something fucking profound, I can't remember.
Racquetball.
Thank you, man. When you went into that racquetball place, there were these big balls that were like, this is a big hit of blue. And then at the end of these three levels of blue balls, that sounds terrible. There are these long streaks of like color, meaning like motion. And that, we've lost that. We've just lost that playfulness to how we, so okay, now is that retro? Or is that just good use of a big, beautiful space?
Yeah.
See, for me to be retro and then go use Futura Bold like it's some kind of little cliche, I understand the criticism. But wait a second. When you went to a place that was like, there was, what's the thing called J-A-L-I?
J-A-L-I or something.
I can't say it right. Damn it. But there are those incredible things where those guys are whipping those balls like, it's like some kind of like Malaysian or something or whatever.
Yeah.
Something. Go look up. Yeah, you know, the little courts they were in was kind of close to like racquetball.
Yeah.
But you will see some of the greatest graphics from the 80s and 79s and 78s of these big movements. And it's like a buddy just kind of, I was telling the same shit to a guy, and he went, dude, bowling alleys.
Oh, God.
I just went, yeah, man. Bowling alleys, man. Big lines going down the side to crash where you get the strike, you know, whatever, down the lane. Is that retro? I don't give a shit. It's just a different sense of like using architectural space and using graphics to, you know, like if you can remember, you're 37, I'm 42, so you remember when you're like a little kid, maybe you went to a big city and you're like at like Macy's or something. And I've seen photos, but I don't think I ever went to it. But I remember there was some department store design study where in the cafe, it said cafe in like 60 different typefaces, bric-a-brac.
Yeah.
Recessed, and it said lunch and picnic, and now it's time to eat. It's probably some Lublin thing, but it was just so dynamic. And if you didn't really look at it, it was just an off-white thing. But if you really looked at it, it was really dynamic. You get these messages out of it, but it was this beautiful texture. And I've always been transfixed by that because it was just such of like, you know, you can't do it on the ground where your feet are because there's a restraint. You can't walk on that. But you don't have to, like, you don't need that wall to, like, eat your plate of food off of. So there's just something about, like, my next phase. I want to explore. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. I want to try to go and retool some environmental graphics and bring, like, I'm making a pop-up store right now. I had the most fun putting these, seriously, the wall is bigger than this, man. And I have DDC pop-up shop, like as big as I could make it.
Yeah.
And that P is like 4 foot tall. And I had such a great time visualizing that and then putting it up there. And when you walk in there now, you're just like, cool, pop-up shop. But what if that was undulating lines or big arrows or something? So we made a real, you know, a big arrow up on the wall as a 14-foot pointing device. And I just want to go and, like, see if I can't hornswoggle someone into letting me do that for them, you know, for that big, you know, because Portland, Oregon is, like, all about, like, being twee and cute and ampersands and everything's a fucking supply company and blah, 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 blah. And I get it. It's probably here in Iowa City, too. But what about if it's just, like, a big coffee place and if you walked in, it was, like, 8 coffee cups with 8 fumes coming off them and 8 different flavors of the coffee or something, like different black down to like what do you like whatever like the milky ones, you know?
Yeah.
And you just walk in and it still says fucking coffee. Why couldn't we do that anymore? We used to. So getting all the way back to when I go junking, I love when I see that shit. It's just reminders of graphic devices that have gone by the wayside. That still, they don't need to be in 1967 in a cafe in Macy's or something. They could be now. We just forgot. We forgot. Case in point, this building. Case in point, the building that went away. Those are decisions that someone made that were cool. Case in point, the incredible architecture of the school I went to, Northwestern Michigan Community College. The art school had all these 1978 things, young. And it was cool inside there. And you went to the English building, and it was rough. It was like just a building. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right?
Here we are in this cool building across the street. Look at that fucking nightmare over there. I think it's incredible. I would love to just get a job here just to be able to show up at that thing every day. You know, it's so cool. And that's like when architecture's fun, you know? And it's just like, man, I don't know. I want to go and like explore that stuff and be able to have that as a part of the arsenal. Not just goofy little logos. I love making logos. But that's the same process there for me was like to go and say, Why don't things have the staying power of Bell Telephone? Oh, because we don't do that anymore. Why don't, you know, and I'm talking the classics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why don't things have the sort of legibility of, well, this? Oh, because we put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag, you know? And that's where I've tried to bring back simple little marks and gestures and moves, we'll just say.
It's like, yeah. I'm
trying.
I think we pile up. More is better.
I'm trying.
We add to things.
You know, one of my favorite moments in Iowa, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you, my friend. When I went to, where the fuck was John Wayne? Winterset?
Winterset. Okay. That is 30 miles from Adel. So.
All right. So you know.
John, I know Winterset.
That is a great logo. That little John Wayne, you know what I'm talking about, right? The one that they use to say his National Historic Birthplace.
Yeah, I'm trying to place it.
When you see it, you're going to be like, oh, okay, that's a great logo. That's a great logo. I don't know who would have been behind that.
Did it involve the True Grit eye patch? Saw your True Grit button that you found.
What was that?
It was the movie font. It was the 69 movie. Oh, yeah.
You know, that little bit of like, that was a quarter. And it's just like, I have True Grit. That's incredible. That is incredible. Remember that show, That's Incredible? Maybe a little before your time. But anyway, when you go to Winterset, I remember this, in the little downtown zone, which is your classic Iowa downtown.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful
and,
square.
And there's a Ben Franklin there. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you go to the Ben Franklin there. Here's what I love about Iowa. When you go into Ben Franklin in Winterset, Iowa, you'll find items with dust on it. Oh, yeah. Because why would they sell... It's still a pair of sunglasses. But the price tag is going to say 50 cents. Because they're from 1982.
Yeah.
But they still work. And that might be a little notepad or a little something or a little whatever. But that is probably my favorite thing about Iowa. It's still, if someone came in there and said, I'm in a pinch, I need some glasses, they'd have them. And why would you? Because maybe they're not cool anymore. Are they? So you can find vintage memo books and things and stuff because they still are functionally sound.
Yeah.
They're not fashionable in the least, you know, glasses or little tote bags or little things. But for some old timer running that thing, I remember just being like, this is the best. It's a time capsule. And I bought a big shoebox of it. It couldn't have been more than 15 or 20 bucks. Those are feathers in the cap that you will not find in the West, never find in the East Coast. The place has been eaten alive. But man, you can go to Nebraska or some hellhole in South Dakota. And you will find that charm of like, still works, leave it on the rack. I love that shit. Dead stock, they call it. Dead stock. But if you ask me, it's livestock. But not the kind that smells like
That piss could shit. Mean something else here in
like
the Midwest.
When you're coming into Omaha, man, that's a rough one. I'm pretty sure I smelled it last night from the hotel room, but it's been a while.
Well, and resurrecting those things, again, it makes me think of the field notes here on the table. Did you get Marin converted as we kind of come full circle?
You better be. Mark Marin, if you're listening right now, and I don't know what you're doing right now, but if you better be, I gave you a pack, buddy, and I'm going to change your life.
Have you heard his bit about the, because, yeah, comedians, they have pads they take up on stage.
No, man. I mean,
and he has that bit about the molesking, and he's like, he didn't want to mess it up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the thing. It's like...
That's what I love about Field Notes. It's got important things. It's got groceries. I didn't get the beer wine,
good
as you
man,
can see.
Good,
or at least they were last. And I
love seeing that stuff because you know what those things do. And you know the reach of the cool versus the uncool and stuff. But what about when you're just taking notes for like directions?
Oh, yeah.
And on paper. From someone who's not going to let you go and pull up a damn... a Google app or whatever.
You got a ruler in here?
I use that ruler ferociously. Okay. In the pop-up right now, you'll start seeing photos as I start, you know, to really drive this home. And I'll be home Friday. And this is the last bit of my little fall tour. As you can see, I'm fading. But tomorrow I will kick the shit out of Indianapolis. That is a threat.
Coming for you.
Oh, there. Oh, those bastards over there. I'm going right for the throat. But you'll see a wall. And the wall is basically the okay, you ready? The posters are precisely this width apart. So 3.5 or width of a field note. So I'd get the poster tacked up and level. I'd go like this, and I'd start the other one. And then the posters, when there's six together thick lines... Those are that wide apart. When you go to the next one that are basically a new set, they are 5.5 inches apart. So I just use the damn thing as like this little unit. Cool.
It is cool.
I love it.
I always ask people as we wrap up what a brand that made them smile is. Field Notes is the ultimate brand that makes me smile.
So really?
That's why I'm single best feature.
Yeah,
right there.
You know I'm with the company, right?
I do. I know.
And you know I can make a couple
calls.
It's
like the hair club for men.
And you know I can make a couple calls and have you banned for life.
What, in the back pocket?
I can't get you tonight to resolve any back pocket problems because I make a special thing called the DDC stuff sheath, just to battle that because you got to be careful if you get in your bike. You know, that rump
it could come right out.
Screw that thing up on the spine. Mm-hmm. Or my asshole buddies out in Portland with those jeans that are sprayed on, you know, those cool jeans.
Poured into them.
I haven't heard that. That's, God, man, it's stop. I'm so tired. It's great. When you put your field note in a tight little ass pocket like that, you know, they get worn out quicker because they're like, you know, on bike seats and shit. So I made this thing called the stuff sheath, which is simply just a piece of leather. And one little stitch along the bottom, it just becomes a little sheath. And that protects it. You know, it'll grind on that leather before it grinds on this. But those are little things that aren't very smart. But you know where I saw the first one? It was from a turn of the century, not 2001. You know, the new No Doubt album was out and whatever. We're talking 1901, where you would get this simple little sheath to go with your bank account book.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys would take them and put them inside their little jacket. So that's the stuff I'm always looking at. That's the stuff that's always like, there's the metaphor of this whole talk. It's like, shit worked back then. It still works now. It might not be cool, but it still works. And I know that design is a weird thing because there's typefaces that put it into certain times and things and movements and zeitgeists and bullshits and whatevers and reactions. But that's what I'm always just trying to mine, is that quality of like, I will never, ever have anything but a pair of 501 jeans because I don't need any. That's the best cut anyway. And it's like, why would you even go screw around with some 566s, whatever the fuck, boot cut, some bullshit?
No, don't trust those other numbers.
You know, I know. And there's just something about like, all I need is a black sweatshirt. That's it. You know, whatever. And speaking of which, this new Cabela's chamois I have here, it's been a long tour, okay? I've worn it every day for the last 40 days, and I got to tell you, it has got more follicles, hair, DNA, stuff, crumbs, and garbage on it. And when I get home, I'm going to wash this shirt, and that's when I'm going to know the tour is over. So this shirt will stand up on its own at this point, all right? How we doing?
We are. I feel bad.
Are we overtime?
Well, we got more. You got more stuff that you got to go do.
Invoice me.
Aaron, where can folks go to learn more?
Let me get a word in here. Will you let me get a word in here? Okay. Listen, you people. I know that you've got the money and the time. Okay, and I know that you people are yearning for answers. Let me ask you this: if you were to go in One Direction forever, and you pass up Adele, Iowa. A town where I spent a week there one night, and you keep going and going and going, and you go an infinite direction, and that universe that you're going in the infinite direction, does the universe have an edge? Or if it doesn't, which one is freakier? Because that's actually a real thing. So that, we wrestle with making merchandise for that question, with our Get Cosmic segment of our Spirited Merch line. And, you know, you can go to draplin.com and talk about things like that. I don't have the answers, but we do have a fun T-shirt that says Get Cosmic. And we do have, you know, memo books at fieldnotesbrand.com. We're shipping all day long where you can go and find memo books and rulers and cool things and pencils and carpenter pencils and a day planner, our new day planner. And it's all made by us. And it's ours, and it tastes so good. And, you know, we don't make a lot, but it's ours. And it comes from the right spot. And our paper's made by, you know, French paper out of Niles, Michigan. And I'm so proud of that, you know. And so, yeah, draplin.com and fieldnotesbrand.com. And, oh, hell, what else? While we're at it, you might as well go to polarbrand.com just because they're my buddies. You know, just go there and I don't even know. It might just be polar.com. But those are buddies in Portland. And while you're at it, you might as well go check out Sizzle Pie when you come to Portland. Or, hell, whatever. I'm so tired. All right. Are we good?
We are good. Cool. Thank man. You for being on, Brandon. Well,
thanks, man. No sweat.
So, folks, that was our special live episode of the On Brand podcast featuring the one, the only Aaron Draplin. Now, Aaron had done a 4-hour workshop, had an evening lecture ahead, and I expected this episode to be a short, quick half-hour episode. We had a great conversation, as I'm sure you can tell, and I'm very thankful. So I wasn't going to make Aaron stick around for my usual outro, but what a great episode. And it wouldn't have been possible without support from the University of Iowa, specifically the School of Art and Art History, and my colleague and oftentimes collaborator, Brad DeSherry there. Fun fact, Brad is a longtime collaborator who's helped us visualize our own brand at Brand Driven Digital, and we thank him for making this special episode possible. A reminder, If you heard something on this show that you liked or another one, feel free to give us a holler over on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Last but not least, you can find links to everything that we talked about, everything that Aaron talked about, over at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, this is your weekly reminder to run over there, give us a quick rating or review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.